Okay, Pat, can you briefly define salvation?
Forgiveness of sins.
Can a person be sure that they're saved?
Yes, in the sense that Paul was sure that he was saved, but not in the sense that many Calvinists say. If you look at real quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4, he says, but with verse 3, with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. What he's saying there is, I don't know anything that would keep me from being in fellowship with God and saved, but I'm not the judge. The Lord will have to judge me. So he doesn't have the assurance that the once saved, always saved advocate would have, but he has the assurance that he spoke about in passages like 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy.
But can someone lose that salvation?
That's what the debate is about tonight, right? Yes, they can lose the salvation.
And how can they lose that salvation?
Well, Hebrews 3 verse 12 makes that perfectly clear, doesn't it? If they become an unbeliever and depart from the living God, they would lose their salvation, because John 3:36b says an unbeliever shall not see life. So if a believer becomes an unbeliever, John 3 makes it clear he will not see life.
Is salvation lost as soon as one sins and doesn't repent?
Well, let me answer it this way, and then you probe me further if you're not satisfied with the answer. Suppose your position were true, that a person, if he's truly saved, but if he doesn't persevere, that proves he was never saved to begin with. So I would ask you, if the person, once he sins, does he immediately, by sinning, say a guy's a commits a sin of homosexuality, does that one sin of homosexuality prove that he was not a Christian because he didn't persevere?
Is salvation lost as soon as one sins and doesn't repent?
Well, you didn't answer my question. You're going to answer?
I'm not under a prosecution.
Okay. A person who won't repent of his sins, even one will be lost. For example, Adam and Eve.
I don't need an example.
I would like to give them that. Adam and Eve is a good example. How many sins did it take him? Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10. How many sins? Uzzah, who touched the ark. How many sins? Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. How many sins? You know, if you're in rebellion to God, it didn't take but one rebellion to be lost, to be in sin. You're rebellious.
Does God discipline those who are his children or those who are not his children?
Well, in some senses, he probably disciplines those who are not children, but not like Hebrews 12 is talking about. That's talking about children, and he disciplines them. So that I think the passage says he's hoping that they'll come back to holiness or something like that in verse 10.
Okay, assuming a person is a true Christian, when they lose their salvation, are they any longer in union with Christ?
They're in fellowship. They're not in fellowship with Christ in the sense that they're saved. But they don't necessarily, in other words, they're not a son of God anymore in the sense that if they come back to God, they'll have to be baptized. No, they're still a son of God or a child of God in the sense that if they want to come back and be forgiven, they need to repent, Acts 8, and 1 John 1:9, confess their sins in prayer.
But the Bible speaks of conversion and salvation as adoption. When somebody loses that salvation, are they still adopted? Or they lose that adoption?
Well, you remember in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, it says they were adopted sons of God. Yet, in chapter 5, verse 4, it says they fell from grace. And you can't fall from something you're not in. So, what has happened is they're not, as I said, they have lost their salvation. But they're not sons in the sense they need to be rebaptized.
Are they still adopted?
Well, let's suppose an adopted son was a disinherited. Would they still be adopted?
I'm asking you, well, you've told me before that the analogies that I draw in comparison with our real world don't count with God. So,
well, no, analogies and illustrations don't prove. All they do is illustrate.
When my child sins against me, to answer your question, I don't unadopt them. I love them and chastise them.
Make right.
Sure that they don't.
I know, but God said in Isaiah 59, verse 2, your sins have separated between you and your God. So God is much, and I'm not criticizing you because I'm no better than you, but God is much more just and holy than you. And his thoughts are way beyond your thoughts and mine. And he says that when you sin, you are separated from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. I can't change that. I'd like to, but that's just what the Bible says.
From your position, can a person know and not be known by Jesus off and on? When he says in Matthew 7:23, depart from me, I never knew you, does that mean he at times knew them and at times didn't know them?
The word know there, of course, is not just he's aware of them, but he's in fellowship with them. They are abiding in him and he in them.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, yes, they can go from knowing God and God knowing them. It doesn't mean God's not aware of them, but it means they're not in the same relationship with God anymore. That's proven by Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 23-22. The fact that Revelation chapter 3 says your name can be in the book of life, yet erased out, shows that you're not saved anymore.
In Matthew 7, verse 23, Jesus says, I never knew you.
Right. And there are many people who claim to be Christians, Matthew 7, 21-23, but have never become Christians. God never knew them. Matter of fact, most of the people who claim to be Christians have never been baptized for the remission of sins. So they haven't become a Christian. They say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, no, unless you do the will of my Father, which is heaven, Matthew 7, 21, unless you obey him. And he says, I never knew him. They've never become a Christian. They may think they have, but they haven't.
Isaiah 43:13 says, indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?
Isaiah 43 what?
43:13. Particularly, I work, and who will reverse it? Is salvation a work of man or a work of God?
Well, there's, as we mentioned on the phone, and you agree, there's God's part and man's part. God takes care of the part that earns the salvation. But the salvation he provides is conditional. So when we obey God, we're not earning our salvation. The blood of Christ takes care of that completely. But the salvation is conditioned upon our obedience. Hebrews 5, verse 9, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation and to all them that obey him, implying that if you don't obey him, you don't take advantage of the death of Christ. Now, does that answer your question? Okay.
In John chapter 6, verse 39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up in the last day. And you've postulated a position that some that the Father gave to him and believe in him for a while can be lost. Is that understanding correct?
My position is that all the Father gives him will be saved, because the ones he gives him are the ones that have a good and honest heart, and it's done through means. But it's not me postulating any kind of position. Notice Luke chapter 8, verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe. Now the Bible says they believe. He's not speaking anthropomorphically. He's inspired that they believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. So it's not me that postulated the position that somebody could believe and then fall away.
Okay, in John 6:39 again, it says that those who are given him, he should lose nothing. Are any who are given by the Father in belief ever lost?
This doesn't say in belief. This says, all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing. And the answer to that is yes. It is no if you're saying that anybody who believes can never be lost. We can see that from Hebrews 3:12, because they go back into unbelief, depart from the living God, and John 3:36b says that they shall not see life, if that's their condition.
But I understood you to say that those the Father gives him are those who believe in him. Is that right?
No, those who have a good and honest heart, Luke 8.
But they believe with a good and honest heart.
Eventually. That's right. But remember, all of this is through means, as you agree. All of it's by choice, as you agree. So that means that they still have a choice after they become saved.
So after they have a good, honest heart, can we say that he says, I will lose nothing of them, I will lose none of them? Can they ever have a bad heart after they have a good heart?
Yes.
All right, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35.
How much time do you have left?
A minute and 6 seconds. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. Did I time that right? Am I okay on the time? All right. Well, maybe I said it wrong. Let's watch. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what you have done. That together with John 6:39 states that all that the Father gives will come to him and he will lose nothing. You've just stated that though it's the Father's will that this be, that yet he may lose some because their hearts go bad. How do you reconcile Jesus' promise to keep the will of the Father to lose none?
Let's look at the passage in Daniel 4. It says, and none can stay his hand. Now, what is God's hand on the matter? What is his hand? Is that salvation be conditional or unconditional? Stephen agrees with me it's by choice. So God did not stay his hand to a position that those particular ones are going to be saved and they can't be lost. That's not what he did. He said it's conditional. And so nobody stayed his hand. He accomplishes exactly what he wants to, and nobody can stop him. That is, those that will obey Jesus will be saved. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Thank you very much.